Acts chapter 10, we're going to start with verse 34 and read to the end of the chapter. He said, "Then Peter opened his mouth and said, 'In truth, I perceive that God shows no partiality. But in every nation, whoever fears him and works righteousness is accepted by him. The word which God sent to the children of Israel, preaching peace through Jesus Christ, he is the Lord of all. That word you know, which was proclaimed throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And we are his witnesses of all things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they killed by hanging on a tree. Him God raised up on the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but to witnesses chosen before God, even to us who ate and drank with him after he arose from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that is he who was ordained by God to be the judge of the living and of the dead. To him all the prophets witnesses that through his name whoever believes in him will receive remission of sin.' While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell on all those who heard the word, and those of the circumcision, the Jews, who believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles, for they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then Peter answered, 'Can anyone forbid water that these should not be baptized who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have?' And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then they asked him to stay a few days." Father God, we just come before you, Lord. I'm so thankful. Lord, there's just a fire burning inside of me today, God. An excitement, Lord, of what you want to speak into this congregation. God, I'm so thankful, Lord, that you never leave us alone, God, that you're always with us. That, Lord, whether we would say, "Well, this is a good day, I'm having a good day, or I'm having a bad day," it doesn't matter. You're Lord of both days, Father. You're still in control of our lives, no matter if it looks like we're climbing the hill or we're coming tumbling down the hill. God, you are in charge. I commit this day, I commit this service into the hands of God. Lord, I'm so thankful, Lord, that you can use me and you can use every one of us, God. You're so much more than we are, Lord. I pray right now for the power of the Holy Spirit to saturate this place, to touch us, to illuminate our minds, to open us up to receive the goodness and the grace of God, the grace that we just sang about that's coming our way, Father, that fountain of grace. I pray today, Lord, let the power of God flow in this place like never before. I bind the Satan in the name of Jesus. I say, you will not hinder us. You will not attack their minds. You will not distract them, but they will receive what the Spirit of God has for them today. Oh, Jesus, we're so thankful. You are good, good, good. There's no turning in you, God. There's no bad side. You're just lovely. And we want more. God, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, for you are my rock and my redeemer. In Jesus' name, amen. And every once in a while, I got a wire coming down my back. And every once in a while, I forget that wire's there, and it touches on the other side sometimes. And if you ever see this fat man come out of this shirt, it's because I think I got a spider crawling on me. So they say, "Please take that off Facebook." Amen. So anyway, we studied this last week. I titled this, "Salvation to the Gentiles is Shown by God Giving the Holy Spirit." So last week we studied a man that was a centurion, a Roman soldier. We would call him a captain today. He's over 100 men. But he was what we would say a good man. He prayed to God. Even though he didn't know Jesus, he knew about God. And he prayed to God, and he was a generous man. He was giving. And the Bible says that his alms and his prayers came up before the Lord as a memorial. And I hope that you got that last week, that your prayers are coming before the Lord. Doesn't matter what you feel. You just need to settle that in your heart. So today we're telling you the rest of the story. How does this thing end? So Cornelius had a vision where the angel of the Lord says, "You need to send for Peter, because he's got something for you. Then God speaks to Peter when he's on the roof, and he goes into a trance, and God gives him a dream about a sheep coming down and full of what he would call unclean animals to eat. And God speaks to him and says, rise up, kill and eat. And Peter says, I ain't doing that. I'm a good Jewish boy, and we don't eat that kind of stuff. So God has to speak to him three times. If you notice, the very first thing of our reading today, Peter opened his mouth. He says, in truth, I perceive that God shows no partiality. Buddy, that's a word for the church today. God does not favor anyone over the other. God loves us all. God favors us all, right? So anyway, God gets his word to Peter that, you know, this is really not about what you eat. This is about people. And so this is a big time, a big event in the kingdom. So Paul wrote in Romans 1:16, he said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation, first for the Jew, then for the Gentile. Well, all we know up until Acts chapter 9 is it's for the Jew. But Acts chapter 10, God shows it is for the Gentile. And I'm lifting up the veil even more, and I'm allowing grace to go into the Gentiles. And Cornelius was the first Gentile to receive this. So this is a big chapter for us, the body of Christ, the American church, we'll say, okay? For those of us that are not Jewish. So what we have is God spoke to both of them. Cornelius did exactly what God had said. He sent for Peter. Peter obeyed, and he came to Cornelius' house, which was against the law. Jews were not supposed to go into Gentiles' house. And he didn't do it alone. He brought six other believers with him. Why? Because something was getting ready to happen that he needed witnesses to the goodness of God. He needed a witness because other believers was not going to probably believe just Peter alone. But the six or seven of them, they had to believe this really is what happened. So he sends out to Peter. Peter and his guys come to his house. Cornelius has filled his house. It's full of his family and his friends. He is not there alone. The house is full. In comes these six Jews. And so the very first thing, Kelleher version, is this shows you that Cornelius was ignorant. And I don't mean that in a detrimental way. I just mean he lacked understanding. He was not a believer of Jesus at this point. And so Peter walks in, and Cornelius falls on his face and begins to worship Peter. And Peter says, get up, man. He said, I'm just a man like you are. You don't worship man. So I'm always looking for points that we need to absorb. The yesterday's events can still be today's current events. And so listen to me just for a second. Don't worship preachers. You know, the Bible tells us that we are to give honor to whom honor is due. Honor is different than worship. You can honor a man. You can honor a woman that's doing great works. I honor Mother Teresa. I loved Mother Teresa. She was just, man, we need more Mother Teresas. I honor Billy Graham. There are great people that God raised up in the body of Christ, but we don't worship them. We only worship Jesus because he is God. Men are only men. And when you get your eyes off of God and you begin to place them upon a man that may be very charismatic, he may be able to preach so wonderful. I'm talking about TV evangelists. He may be able to preach just these wonderful sermons, and you think, oh man, quit that. Quit it. I'm not saying quit listening. I'm saying stop worshiping. We don't worship men. Worship is for God alone. Even in the Old Testament, when an angel would come down from earth and appear to a person and they would bow to worship, even the angels would say, oh, no, I don't receive worship. That's not right. Worship goes to Jesus. So Peter says, get on up, man. And then Cornelius looks at him And he says, they exchange their stories. Here's what happened to me. And Peter says, well, this is what happened to me. And so now they're together in the house. Cornelius looks at Peter and says, you're on. Bring it to us. I don't know what you got. I don't know why God told me to send and get you. But evidently, there's a word that God has that he's given you that we need. Now bring it to us. That's the same attitude that you ought to have every time you come to service. You ought to put a demand on the man of God. You hear me? You ought to put a spiritual demand. God, I didn't come here because it's Sunday and that's my religious duty. I come here because I need to have a word from heaven. Now, bring it to me. And that's exactly, you know, my wife said, man, she put some pressure on Peter. Well, the Bible says that we are to be instant in season and out of season. You go to work tomorrow, you may have somebody look at you and say, why are you always so happy? You ought to have a reason to give. Well, there's only one thing I can say about that. It's Jesus. I'm not happy because everything's right in my life. I'm happy because Jesus has put joy in my heart. And it doesn't matter if I'm having a good day or a bad day. He's still in control. That's a word that people need to hear. So people are going to question you. Why do you have this? Why do you go to church? They asked Treva that this week. They said, why do you always go to church? She says, because my husband drags me there. What's up, Peter? What's up? Did you notice what Treva started the service with? The Apostles' Creed. That's exactly what Peter said. He didn't read to him a creed, but he told him that. He said, well, I'm here to tell you about Jesus. You know God, but you haven't accepted Jesus. I walked with him for 3 years. You see, there was a time when God looked at his son and said, it's time for you to go to earth because there's a price that you need to pay. So Jesus stepped out of the Trinity and came down to this earth, born of a virgin. Now, Peter didn't include all that. He should have, but he didn't. And so he said that Jesus came down and he lived this sinless life and he went about doing good to everybody. Did you catch that? And he healed those oppressed by the devil. Now, let me just stop for a second. You need to quit thinking your sickness is of God. You hear me? That is not a gift of God. I'm diabetic. That ain't a gift of God. That's an affliction on this tent that I'm living in because he likes chocolate way too much. This tent desires chocolate-covered peanuts like all the time. And it's I'm paying a price for that. But it is not a gift. You go back to the garden, they were not sick. Never. There are no sickness in heaven. So whatever you're dealing with in your body, you will not fight it as long as you think it's God doing it to you. You need to know that that's an oppression from the enemy, and I bind it in Jesus' name, and I may die with it, but I'm going to die with this confession on my lips that though he slay me, yet will I trust him, and God is bigger than my sickness. So anyway, he's telling him the story. He said Jesus lived and then they crucified him and then he went to the grave, but he didn't stay there. In 3 days, he came out of the grave and he started appearing to all of us. He said he appeared to the 12. He appeared to me. He said I was one of the 12. He appeared to me. Peter's telling the story. He said he appeared to 500 people at one time. He was making it known far and wide. I'm very much alive. Then he ascended to the Father. What did he do? He told him the gospel story. Now see what's happening. I told this morning in the first service. I gave an altar call from the pulpit one time and I said, if you don't know Jesus, you need to ask him into your heart. And I led this prayer and it made one man so mad. He got up and he left the church because he said, that ain't the way it works. Well, I got news for you. God's going to step out of your little box. God is not going to be limited. God can bring salvation. He brought salvation to Cornelius, and Peter, the preaching, didn't even know it. You get what I'm saying? It wasn't until Cornelius, Peter's preaching, and all of a sudden he hears this little noise over in the side. He looks over there and he sees Cornelius going, "Ashadana makudadada." He said, "What is that all about?" That's the day of Pentecost happening all over again, is what it was. The very same thing that happened to us Jews now is happening to the Gentiles. And this old Jewish boy that thought God was the God of prejudice, he said, "He's not the God of partiality. He'll do it for everyone." It was a whole lot bigger deal than what we can imagine. Romans 10 says this: the word is near you. It's in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes in the righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. But Peter didn't even know it. See, you can't be baptized in the Holy Spirit if you're not saved. That's the one prerequisite. You've got to be born again. What happened? He walks into Cornelius's house, who was not born again, and he's preaching the gospel to them. And somewhere while he's preaching, you know this happens all the time. Somehow, somewhere, Peter's preaching, Cornelius is sitting over in the corner saying, I receive. Forgive me of my sins. I accept. I believe in Jesus Christ. I believe what Peter's preaching. And all of a sudden, salvation came to this old boy. And then he began to speak in tongues. I'm telling you, woo, it's good. It's good. I'm telling you, it's exciting. I'm so thankful that God does things in a sermon, that God does things in a service that the preacher don't know about. People tell me all the time, says, "Well, you know, you said this during the sermon." I'm thinking, I didn't say that. But the Holy Spirit might have said it to you. Are you getting? The Bible says that I will speak one sermon, and if there's 150 people here, there's 150 times that the Spirit of God is taking what I'm saying and he's bringing it to your ears. And you may hear it different than, are you following that? That's, a man can't do that, but the Spirit of God can. Why? Because we are all, every one of us are at different points in this spectrum, this journey called salvation. And God cares about Darren, but he cares about Dylan too. He cares about every one of us. So what does he do? He says, "You just speak the word, and I'm going to take your word. I'm going to divide it severally as I will, and I'm going to plant it in their hearts." So you may get something totally different than what your neighbor got. Whew, can I take just a moment for a breath? Anybody got oxygen I can borrow for a second? Whew. All of a sudden, old Cornelius begins to speak in tongues. Hallelujah. And he wasn't alone. Then his family, his friends. Why? The Spirit of God is descending, just like the day of Pentecost, bringing the power. Why? Because this little prejudiced Jew needed to see in the Spirit what was happening. That God was moving out of this box that he had contained him in. Listen to me. I hope God gets out of your box. Amen. We have God too limited. God is sovereign. You hear me? God is sovereign. God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all you ask or even think, according to the power that's within you. What is that power? That power is the Holy Spirit. We have this treasure in this earthen vessel that the excellency and the power will be of God and not of you. When you ask Jesus into your heart, Jesus doesn't step off the throne of grace and come and get in your heart, but the Holy Spirit does. They're one and the same. Are you following me? We've been teaching this wrong for years. We tell people, well, Jesus come in your heart. No, he doesn't. Jesus sits at the right hand of the Father. Well, God bless you. You think I need that? I'll take it. Now, that's a sweet boy. Thank you so much. Got anything stronger? No. I'm teasing. I'm teasing. Don't write me letters. Why do you need the Holy Spirit? Because in John chapter 16, Jesus is getting ready to go to heaven. And he's telling his disciples some very pointed things. And he says this, when he, the Holy Spirit, has come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin because they do not believe in me. Of righteousness because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment because the ruler of this world is judge. The Holy Spirit is the one that takes a sinner and lets him know that he's a sinner and in great need of a Savior. Nobody comes into the Father except the Holy Spirit draw them. If you're not born again today, I pray the Spirit of God is revealing to you, I need Jesus. That's the Holy Spirit. But he says, I convict them of sin, but the Holy Spirit will also convict you of righteousness. What's that mean? I believe that's to the church. I believe that's to the believer. In other words, you're going along and you're born again. You're saved, but you do something wrong. You sin. And it's the Holy Spirit that says, y'all not done that. I saw a friend of mine a few weeks ago at the restaurant, and I went up to him and was talking to him, and he said something to me, and I just outright said something ugly. Now, I didn't cuss or nothing like that, but I just said something ugly. And I went back to my table, and as soon as I got back to my table, the Holy Spirit says, y'all not said that. That wasn't encouraging. That wasn't uplifting. That was wrong. Where'd that come from? The Holy Spirit. He was convicting me of righteousness. He's saying, boy, I've called you to be righteous. I have given you my righteousness, and that was wrong. Take care of that. You hear me? So I'm sorry. I said, Jesus, you're right. I'm sorry. He said, don't apologize to me. You know what that means, right? I had to go back. Man, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have said that. That was ugly. That was disparaging to somebody. That's not nice. Forgive me. He said, didn't even think about it. I said, oh, yeah, you did. I know you know. That's the Holy Spirit bringing righteousness, convicting us. See, there's too many Christians that don't understand. You are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. He took your sin. We get this part. He takes our sin. What we don't get is he gives us right standing with the Father. That's right righteousness. In other words, after you're born again, now, because of the cross, I can go directly into the throne of grace, is what Hebrews 4 tells us, right? I can go before the throne of grace. Aren't you thankful that the Father calls his throne the throne of grace? It's not the throne of judgment. It's not the throne of misery. It's the throne of grace. Don't be afraid to go before the presence of God. He says it's also of judgment, because one of these days I'm going to judge this world. In John chapter 16, the same chapter we was just talking about, you go down to verse 13, and Jesus is still talking about, when I leave and the Holy Spirit comes, he says a few things right here. He says he'll guide you into all truth. You know, a lot of Christians can't tell the difference between a truth and a lie. They think because you heard it on TV or you heard it on false book, that's got to be true. It ain't true. If it contradicts the word of God, you ought to kick it out because it ain't true. Right? The Holy Spirit is the one. I don't care what mama taught you or grandma taught you. When you read in the Word of God, this is wrong. All of a sudden you surrender everything you've been taught and you say, I receive that because that's true. And if you don't think that happens every day of your life, you're missing it. Every day, I don't know where I'm going. You get saved, which opens the door to a journey. Does this make sense? When you say, Jesus, forgive me of my sin, Jesus says, okay, let's go, boy. And you start down a path that we could call the path of sanctification or the journey of your salvation. And Jesus begins to work things out of your heart. Okay, you can't talk like a sailor anymore. We need to get rid of this. We need to get rid of all this anger that's inside of you. But the Bible says that while he's working things out of your heart, he's working things into your heart. I'm so thankful. So God says, okay, you can't talk like that. Let's talk like this. Let's put a little salt on your tongue. Remember when God showed up to Isaiah? He says, woe is me. I'm a man of unclean lips. He was a prophet. But when he got in God's presence, all of a sudden, he saw his error. He saw his wickedness. And what's happened? The angel of the Lord took a coal from the altar, placed it on his tongue. Why? Because, son, you need to change the way you're talking. That was a word. I didn't talk about this in the first service. I'm talking to you. You need to change the way you're talking. Too many of you are talking about death all the time. You need to stop it. Amen. You need to start talking about life. Amen. As long as you can fog a mirror, let's talk life. Yes. Negativity is the devil. I'm getting riled up now. Negativity is the devil's language. It ought not be your language. You've not been called to fail and to. Are you getting? Well, glory to God. I'll be glad when he comes back because this life is so miserable. Well, then you must not be living the one that I'm living. God didn't call you to misery. God called you to defeat the works of the devil. He called you into joy, not into hatred, not into defeat. Are you telling me? It matters what you think and it matters what you talk about. Jumping around like a little banty rooster today. I didn't embarrass myself. He'll guide you into all truth. He will glorify me. There's one thing about Pentecostal people. They are people of worship. They really are. They get a little crazy about it. They're like fat preachers jumping around all the time. But why? Because the Spirit of God in you is glorifying the Father. Right? Why? Because they are one. We don't understand the Trinity. But in the Old Testament, the Lord thy God is one. There is one God. He is Father. He is Son. He is Holy Ghost. He has three divisions. The Spirit of God that's in you is glorifying the God that's in heaven. That's why when you get baptized in the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues, It opens up your spirit. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is not hardly explainable. It's totally spiritual. That's the only way I know to say it. But we need him. Verse 15 says, again, Jesus talking, he says, he'll teach you about God. He will take what is mine and he will bring it to you. That's what the Holy Spirit does. He takes something that you can't understand and brings it right down to you. He not only gives you Jesus' knowledge, but he also, listen, he also gives you his authority.
That's right.
So Jesus said, all authority has been given unto me. Remember that word? Am I talking to people that believe? He said, I've been given all authority. Well, when you get baptized in the Holy Spirit, he takes the authority of Jesus and he brings it down to you. Now you have his authority. Romans chapter 8, he says that the Holy Spirit brings us into a spirit of adoption to where we know that we are sons of God. In other words, He tells us that we are the children of God. It's the Holy Spirit that reveals that to us. He says the Spirit in verse 26, I believe it is, the Spirit helps our weakness. Anybody got some weaknesses going on? Man, I've got all kinds of weakness that I need the Holy Spirit strengthen me up. You know, it's like a carpenter. Now, I don't know much about carpentry, but if there's something that's holding a lot of weight, they brace it up. Well, that's what the Holy Spirit does to you. He braces us up in our weak areas. Maybe you say, I'm just not thinking right. Well, the Holy Spirit comes in and braces that up so that you begin to think the thoughts of God. He takes heavenly knowledge and he gives it to us. This is all out of Acts, our Romans chapter 8. The Bible says in 8:28 that all things work together for the good of them that love the Lord and called according to his purpose, right? How's that happen? Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit will take your disaster like he did Joshua, and he will turn it to where Joshua, at the end of his life, he said, the things that you did that you meant for bad, God meant for good. God will take your disasters and he'll turn it around and make something to be a blessing for you. So therefore, don't give up in the bad times. Don't throw, my brother, when we were little kids, very poor, but my brother somehow had a bat and had a ball. We lived in a neighborhood, no other kid had a bat and a ball. And so we'd go and we'd play some baseball, and if he got three strikes and we'd say, you're out, he'd say, well, I'm going to take my bat and ball and go home. Well, he's the only one that had a bat and ball. So, oh, okay, you can have a fourth strike. You can have a fifth strike. Some of us act like that in our Christianity. We just want to throw everything down and go home. No, no, no. You buckle under. When bad times happen, you realize that Jesus is still Lord. He will carry you through. Luke chapter 11 says, ask, seek, and knock. These are the verses. It actually means ask and keep on asking, seek, keep on seeking, knock and keep on knocking. But the end of the story says, if you being evil want to give good gifts to your children, how much more, Luke is the only one that records it like this, he says, how much more will your Father give you the Holy Spirit? The rest of them say, we'll give you good gifts. But Luke, Dr. Luke, says he'll give you the Holy Spirit. Why? Because that's the best gift. It's God in you. Remember when Paul was writing? He said, I have a mystery. And here is the mystery, Christ in you, the hope of glory. I don't know why I'm preaching this way. I didn't preach this way for the first. Go back and listen to the first service. You'll get the actual message. I think I'm coming to tell you, don't give up. Amen. You hear me? Don't give up. Amen. He's the hope of glory. The Holy Spirit is in you. When you get saved, the Holy Spirit is in you. Now, there is a difference in the salvation and the Holy Spirit coming in you and the baptism of the Holy Spirit. In this story of Cornelius, that's good old Tennessee language, isn't it? Cornelius, we see that at some point he got saved, and then all of a sudden he got baptized in the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues, of which most of the church has said, that's not of God. You know, we quit believing in that 100 years ago. Well, shame on us. God's got the same method today as he started off with. If you think this thing died with the apostles, you are absolutely wrong. I'm telling you, just read the book of Acts. You're going to see it over and over and over. They laid their hands on them, they pray, and the Holy Spirit came upon them. They began to speak in tongues. And you say, well, I've already asked for that and I didn't get it. Well, keep on asking. Be persistent. Let God know I'm serious about this. I'm not acting on an emotional high. I'm serious. If this gift is of you, I want everything you have. I'm telling you, when you pray in the Holy Ghost, you pray the perfect will of God, because it bypasses your brain. You need the baptism of the Holy Spirit and you need your prayer language. And don't you settle for less than. When God spoke to Zerubbabel in Zechariah chapter 4, Zerubbabel was the guy that's rebuilding the temple. Big undertaking. And he told Zerubbabel this. He said, Bubba, he said, it ain't by might. It's not by power. But it is by my spirit. See, right now, there are people in this room that you're going through things that the Spirit of the Lord is telling you. He's saying, you're not going to win this victory by being a strong-willed person. You're not going to win this victory by being intellectual. It's not by might or power. It is by my spirit. Here's the word from the Lord. Press in to the Spirit of God. Quit trying to figure everything out and just press into His Spirit. You know, our pastor used to call it pneumophobia. People scared of the Spirit. Why are they like that? Because of people like me. I know what. It's because you look at me and think, I don't want to be a preacher like that. I don't want to get in front of people and dance all around and jump up and down and act crazy. You don't have to. God will not change your personality. If you're a quiet person and God baptizes you with the Holy Spirit and gives you His prayer language, you'll probably do it very quietly. Okay, I'm not done, but you are. I can tell. Why did God do this? Why did God give us a prayer language? Because it's strictly by faith. If you try to figure this thing out, you're not going to do it. You're not going to figure out the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You're not going to figure out the Trinity. You got to accept it by faith. But you got to believe that He's still doing it the same way as the day of Pentecost. Would you stand with me? Now I'm going to open these altars. And so when I was sitting on this front row, the Lord spoke this to my heart. He said, there are people in this service that have been Spirit-filled, but they have neglected the gift, and they need to be refilled. God wants to refill you with the baptism of the Holy Spirit, with the evidence of speaking in tongues, so that you will walk in that power. And so when I was 7 years old, when I gave my heart to Jesus, we had a revival, and the evangelist called all the little kids and said, I want you to come and sit on the front row. And so we all went down to the front row. I'm 7 years old. And He preaches the gospel to us. And I'm seven. I didn't know anything about Pentecost, didn't know anything about speaking in tongues, but I knew at that moment I was a sinner. And I remember just dropping down on my knees saying, Jesus, I'm a sinner and I want a Savior. Will You forgive me of my sins? And nobody told me I was supposed to say that and then get up and go back to my seat. So I just stayed there. I stayed there for over an hour, just pouring out my heart, a seven-year-old, pouring out my heart to God. The next thing that I know is I'm praying in a language that I had never heard of before. I didn't know anything about it. I'm telling you, this is God. It's a story very similar to Cornelius. Cornelius didn't know anything about this. He was just saying, Jesus, I am a sinner, and I ask You to forgive me of my sins. And the next, he's just in the God's, are you getting that? He's just in God's presence, absorbing, absorbing, absorbing. And all of a sudden, the Spirit of God just opens up to him. And he's praying in tongues. Is that not purely spiritual? Would God withhold anything from you? No. The answer is no. We started off with Peter saying, I know the truth now. God is not partial. What God will do for the Jews, God will do for the Gentiles. What God will do for this denomination, God will do for that denomination. Denomination has nothing to do with it. Are you open to what God has? Have you been there and you neglected the gift? I'm just going to open this altar. And if you know that you need a touch of God today, whatever that would be, just come down, stand up here. We'll have a word of prayer with you. I just believe the Spirit of God wants to do something strong in your life. It may have nothing to do with what I talked about, But if you're hurting, you need more of him, get down here. We prayed about this last night, that God would fill you, touch you, save you, heal you, whatever you need. Amen. As we sing this song.
Hallelujah, Lord. Holy Spirit, I need you. Come, sweet Spirit, I pray. Come in your strength and your power. Come in your own special way. Oh, come, Holy Spirit, I need you. Come, sweet Spirit, I pray. Come in your strength and your power. Oh, come in your own special.
Jesus is your Savior. Man, let's get on with that one. Let's come down. Let us agree and pray with you. Let's ask Jesus to forgive you of your sins and to come into your heart. And let's get you on the journey working with God, where he is working in your life. Father, I pray for that person right now, Lord, that maybe does not know you as Savior. I ask you, Holy Spirit, to reveal yourself to that person. God, open their minds, open their hearts. Spirit of God, draw them to Christ in Jesus' name. Could I get some brothers and sisters to come down here and stand behind these? Let's pray. I'm going to turn my mic off.
I sing praises to your name. For your name is great and greatly to be praised. I sing praises.